the Around the NFL podcast. Has ball control issues.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. I'm your host, Colleen Wolf, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes. Patrick Claibon, Chris Wesseling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, gang?
Hey, Colleen.
It's always just like a little weird when Dan isn't here. It just feels like a little off.
It's different, but people do get the like warm embrace of your voice, and it's like, oh, it's Colleen. Like,
oh,
Dan's not
nice.
Here, but somebody's here to hold me through this podcast.
Yeah. Great.
Dan, I believe, still at the Jersey Shore with his family. Mark was in the office yesterday. I was here as well, but he is now off to see his parents with his family.
Ooh.
And, you know, both Dan and Mark have started, I don't know if you guys do know this, these great side podcasts. Dan has the Throwback Pod, and Mark has the Heat and Light podcast. And so we thought today, this can be our side podcast.
Okay.
Colleen,
yeah.
Wes,
I'm into it.
Claibon, and what was your name for it? It was.
I didn't have one. We could go off of like an old album name.
It's gonna be, and it'll be once a year when you're both on vacation, and we just drop fire.
I like it. And Wes, you're gonna take a little vacation, right?
I'm gonna meet my mom in Longboat Key, Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow night.
All
Friday
right.
Night, yeah.
I'm leaving the country in less than 6 hours. Who's counting, though? So, yeah, we have not a lot of news, but we have a lot of odds and ends to get to. Sully, what's up, my man?
Not too much. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. How are you? You're busting it behind the glass.
Busting it. Yeah, it's a busy day back here.
It is.
Very, very busy day.
It's like not busy at all in the NFL, but it's busy in Sully's world. I mean, these vacations, it's like everyone's getting the last ones in. We are about 2 weeks away from inside training camp starting. Like
that's right.
Ugh.
Hitting the, oh, don't
what do
say
you mean?
It's August is by far the worst month in industry.
It's probably the toughest, I would say.
If the games actually meant something, it would be different, but it's not only just that it's so busy.
Yeah.
It's that the games mean absolutely nothing and you're forced to act like they mean something.
It's the highest ratio of working hard to like we have very fun jobs, but they're more fun September to February.
It's also really hot at a lot of the training camps when you go to cover them. So sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, but you know what? I mean, for the most part, we're talking about football, so it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
I think what you guys are getting to is the time of the year where there's the most chefs trying to influence the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the season starts, those guys start to realize that the dish is going to get made no matter what. And they can kind of pull back.
Claibon's
excellent analogy.
Podcast starts.
All right, let's get to some odds and ends. Oh, I'm singing odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends about odds and ends. Ah, damn, ends. I almost had it. It was so
remix.
That was
Let's
the
do it
closest.
Again. Let's do it again.
That was definitely the closest I've
We're
ever
doing
been.
It again.
Okay. Odds and ends, odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends because the time had. No, this is all off. It's just not right. I don't like it. Forget it.
I don't want you to get it right.
No, it's never going to happen. I was actually this morning like practicing. I was like, okay, what if I can't remember how the song goes, but I'm like, okay, maybe I can try some variations.
It's like when two characters get together on a long running TV show. Ultimately, the tension is then ended and it gets worse. The tension of you not getting the song right is the whole key. And there has been no news. There's been no news. That's significant for an entire week, so it's just odds and ends.
No, I know. I woke up this morning at like 7:30 and started stressing out, and I was like, what are we going to talk about today? Let's go through some news. And it was nothing. It was like, oh, Kiko Alonso is looking forward to a big year with the Dolphins.
I know it's always a quiet time of year, but I think this is like the quietest quiet time of year we've ever had, and I love it. It's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, let's get into our first item here. USC's Sam Darnold, who we keep hearing about, apparently is no lock for the upcoming draft. Several sources close to Darnold told our own Daniel Jeremiah they wouldn't be surprised if Darnold played two more seasons at USC. As a redshirt sophomore, he can declare for the draft as early as 2018. What do you think about this, Rosie?
I'm delighted, first of all, because it ruins all the whole scam for Sam Jets nonsense. don't know. That's Sam.
What's happening?
That's tragic.
Sam's driving that jet. Turn it back around and landed in L.A.
That thing crashed for 12 minutes.
This is unsettling before getting on a flight.
it always has been, I think maybe it's been the back of my head and probably others, that everyone's just assuming this guy, first of all, that he stays this good, which is, and is that top of a prospect, but that he's definitely going to come out. He's just, what, a redshirt sophomore?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that this makes sense. I mean, why is that 100% decision that he's definitely coming
out? It's not the first time on this podcast that we've raised the likelihood that Sam Darnold stays in school. And it's an interesting conundrum for all those teams gunning for the number one pick. The Jets, which are doing it more actively than any team I remember since I've been watching football. Because we saw move the sticks, Daniel Jeremiah reports around combine time that executives and scouts were talking about this guy more than the guys coming out in the 2017 draft class. And, you know, the Spice Rack, who I hold in high regard, says that Sam Darnold is the real deal and a can't-miss prospect. So that means a lot. But then, you know, Lance Zierlein came out with an article today saying don't write off everyone but Sam Darnold in the competition to be number one, which we see in most years. The guy who's the favorite to go number one often doesn't go there.
Yeah. And it's a lot to put on somebody who's only started 1 year of college football. He's living and playing in Los Angeles. And it's like, oh, well, this guy's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And he's going to be the starting quarterback and franchise savior for the New York Jets next year. Like, this is all foregone. We know this is going to happen.
A lot can happen in a year. This time last year, Brad Kaya, the Miami quarterback, was being projected as the number one player.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he went all the way around in the fifth, sixth round. Yeah,
and so. Now can't even beat out Rudock.
Yeah, now he's light years behind Jake Rudock. Yeah. So what are we going to do there?
We have so much more time to talk about it. It's going to change. So, like, just look at the combine. Going into the combine, DeShone Kizer was the number one quarterback. Everybody loved him. And then so much changed just over the course of those workouts.
Yeah.
So
good job by DJ, you know, coming back from vacation and making a little NFL news.
Well, he was watching him. He was up in the opening up in Beaverton, Oregon, watching him, and that was supposedly the best workout of any quarterback up there.
So. Ever.
Ever. Ever. Ever. Was the
any,
word
any quarterback. At the,
ever.
Just ever. Yeah. Sam Darnold is that dude.
Yep. We can talk about Daniel Jeremiah, too, because Dan's not here. So that's a nice luxury that we have. Shout out to DJ. All right, let's move on to Tom Brady. Did he confirm Giselle's concussion claims here? In an interview with ESPN's Kevin Negandhi for an E60, he said, quote, "She's there every day. We go to bed in the same bed every night. So I think she knows when I'm sore. She knows when I'm tired. She knows when I get hit." He's releasing a new book. I mean, obviously, I assume that they sleep in the same bed every night. I didn't think that they were like the couple that was sleeping in separate bedrooms.
Brady confirms cohabitation.
Yeah. But it sounds like it's a affirmation of it.
Well, this is, go ahead.
I want you to go.
This is another story that the entire industry has gotten wrong. This is not about whether the Patriots and Tom Brady are hiding something. It's about what is a concussion and what's not. And you can diagnose quarterbacks and other players with multiple concussions every single game if that's your threshold for a concussion. But the threshold for a concussion isn't that in the NFL. Until you come up with a working definition for a concussion that everybody agrees to, these stories are going to pop up all the time.
And that's probably impossible, and that this issue is impossible. And I thought it was interesting just because I feel like 2 or 3 years ago it would have been a bigger story that Tom Brady – you know, it actually wasn't that big of a story that Tom Brady's wife said that he's had concussions in the last few years. You know, the greatest player – of all time is playing despite unreported concussions, and people kind of like dismissed it some way because it was his wife saying it, which it's like, who would know more than his wife? And then he confirmed it here. Tom Brady's never going to say anything that gets his team or himself in trouble, but he confirmed it here.
Yeah.
I don't know if people were thinking twice about it because it was Giselle that was saying it. I think a lot of people just assume that football players get concussions when they're playing football. I mean, it's not difficult to get a concussion. I'm sure I've had a concussion before. Have you guys had a concussion?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been diagnosed with anything, but I just leave it up to the physicians.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned.
I had a fractured skull, I'm sure.
Me too. Yeah. Have we talked about this before?
Well, if you had a fractured skull, I'm pretty sure you had a concussion.
Yeah, look, you can feel it right there. If you
oh, yeah.
How did this happen?
It's weird.
On the ice?
Mine was right there too, and I looked like the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
My forehead was like 2 inches out.
Me too. It looked like there was an egg under my skull.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Wait,
yeah.
Did this happen during your days as the Flyers ice girl? As a Flyers ice girl?
No, it did
Which
not.
Is a true thing that happened, that you were.
Listen, I was in college, and
I think that's cool. You've come closer to professional sports than anyone else in this.
So I was a Flyers ice girl when I was in college because I didn't have a job, and the Flyers hired a bunch of girls who didn't know how to skate, and then decided that they were going to give them lessons to teach them how to skate, and
it's not that
they
easy.
Were supposed to like go out and. I don't know, do stuff on the ice or whatever. And then they realized that this was going to be a major undertaking. So I had a family friend that worked at a sports radio station, and I used to be a competitive figure skater. So she was like, hey, do you want a job with the Flyers? You just have to like stand by the Zamboni chute with the ice crew. And then during the TV timeouts, go out and scrape up the ice around the nets and like next to the bench. And I was like, they're going to pay me to go to every home Flyers game and just like stand at the Zamboni chute? Yeah, okay. So it was awesome, but it definitely, I didn't get a concussion from that, thank God. I got it playing softball. And a girl, her name was Colleen, she had an aluminum bat and she practice swung into my forehead as I was walking by.
I think evil Colleen was trying to take you out.
Right?
To assert dominance.
I know. It was awful. Yeah. That's
terrible.
I know.
I feel like I remember this story from last year when you were playing softball.
Yeah, because
you didn't want to play catcher.
I can't be a catcher. Yeah. And Dan was like, I don't understand. Why don't you want to be the catcher? And I was like, I've had a traumatic incident with a bat that close to my head. I can't do it. So, yeah, concussions. How about it, everybody?
But, yeah, getting back to Zizel, When you are thinking about the team and to some instance the doctors, like Giselle gets a view that they all don't get. Mm-hmm. Like Tom's job is to be a quarterback, to walk around the facility, to talk to people, but she's the only one that sees him dealing with his kids, making the coffee maker, getting the milk out of the fridge. And as Tom intimated there, she has access to that information that nobody else does.
Right. And it's sort of an unsolvable problem. Not that you don't want to try to keep getting better, but we are at a point now where I think players have a lot of information about concussions. The NFL does a lot to try to prevent concussions. A lot of it is on – some of it is still going to be on the players to report their own concussion. And I just thought it's an interesting dichotomy of a guy who's releasing a book, The TB12 Method, How to Achieve a Lifetime of Sustained Peak Performance, that he's all about health. Mark Sessler's has his recipes, and he's going to be doing a great piece coming up, you know.
Ooh.
Going by his diet and everything.
Geez.
But there is a weird dichotomy of someone who could not be more concerned about his health that's still willing to take the risks of permanent brain damage every time he steps on the field and then maybe exacerbate it by not reporting concussions while he's playing. Because what is more risky for your long-term health than having concussions? Wait. And you can't – like you wouldn't expect for him to give up that competitiveness and change who he is as a person, but it's a weird dichotomy.
I think that's simplistic to say not reporting concussions. I don't think he knew at the time he was concussed. I don't think it's until afterwards where he's like, you know what? When I was feeling that way at night, I was probably concussed. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's about reporting it or not reporting it. I think it's a very complex, nuanced gray area.
Well, that's partly not true because at that point you go into the team, you report – it and it gets reported on the injury report as a concussion and you go into the protocol and he hasn't ever done that. So on some level,
Your body is a very complex organism. Take it from someone who's going through something weird right now. I don't ever know what's going on with my body and I could not tell you. The most exacerbating part of what I'm going through is not knowing from day to day what's going to happen with my own body. And I think that Tom Brady probably did not know.
Yeah,
I really think that.
It's going to have to take the science catching up to a point where we can just sit somebody on a machine and say, this is what happened, this is when it happened, and then we can go from there. Until then, it's just this. It's a circular version of this conversation.
Yeah. By the way, Wes, how are you feeling? You look good.
I can't eat. That's the problem. It changes from day to day. Like, I'm down 30 pounds, and I have no energy.
Holy crap.
pounds in 6 weeks. Yeah. You know, I'll be honest with you. A month ago, I felt guilty because cancer really hadn't affected my quality of life at all. And I'm like, cancer's not so bad, you know? And now the last 3 weeks, I'm just like, this is kind of hell, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the inability to eat and drink because of the radiation swelling my esophagus. And radiation's over. It ended Monday, thank God.
That's great.
But
and your chemo treatments are over on Friday, right?
On Friday would be my last one. And doctors say don't expect the eating and drinking to get better in a week. But in 2 to 3 weeks, you should start to feel pretty normal again.
Really?
So then at that point, I'll meet with the surgeon and we'll probably decide to have surgery in August, get all that bad cancer out of my body, and hopefully resume normal quality of life.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad that the radiation and the chemo are coming to an end, and hopefully you're going to be able to eat again soon.
Thank you.
Do you know what you're like when you're finally feeling better? Do you know what you want to eat?
I have been dreaming of cheeseburgers.
Yes.
I really have. Like,
Hanano, maybe?
Oh, yeah. We should do a Hanano.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All
I mean,
great.
Wes is like the toughest guy I know even before this all happened.
I know.
And then, I mean, he said he's felt it the last, you know, 3 weeks. And for him to say that, I know it has to be serious. And yet he was still out there last week. And we have gotten some tweets out there playing softball last
really?
Week and being a contributor to a big Shield blowout victory.
Play ball!
I played the first 3 or 4 innings and then just had no energy. And I heard the stand-in coach, because Dan wasn't there, say, Greg, come out of the game. And I said, no, Greg, stay in the game. Wes, come out of the game, sit down. We had a pretty commanding lead, and I said, my work is done. I thought I was going to keel over right there on the field.
Just
faint from lack of energy. So
yeah.
I was happy that we won. It was a big game. You're going to have to go through it without me tonight because I know I can't make it through tonight.
Gotcha.
What's the record right now?
We are 5-4. So right on the borderline of the playoffs. 3 games left.
3 games. Oh, man.
That W.
Down the stretch. All right, let's get back to some football. Sammy Watkins, he believes the draft class of 2014 will, quote, change the market. We got to get paid more, Watkins said. Now, this is coming after NBA free agency. A lot of the players are watching these massive contracts that the basketball players are getting. And they're saying, I mean, our league generates more money. It's a more dangerous sport. We should be getting paid just like them, if not more. And there's a ton of guys coming up for deals. Jadeveon Clowney, Khalil Mack, Mike Evans, Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham. The list goes on. So this is going to be a star-studded class with a lot of dollar signs.
There's football players do deserve more money, but there's several issues with this. You're paying at least 53, oftentimes 90 players in football. NBA teams are paying 12 to 15 players. It's a lot different. Baseball, too. Baseball's got a much smaller roster than football. You can't afford to pay players as much money. So that's part of it. And football players are never going to get guaranteed contracts. It's just never going to happen because of the injury risk.
If a few players, at least if a quarterback could say, or a group of quarterbacks establish the point where I'm going to play for a guaranteed contract, or just whatever it is. Let's say Kirk Cousins wants to do that, and he can say that this is coming up, this is for me. Then maybe somebody else can say, I want that Kirk Cousins contract.
There's been rumors about that for quarterbacks, especially that Andrew Luck was going to get a fully guaranteed. Hasn't happened.
It'd be hard to find a GM willing to do that because then they face fire from every other GM and owner in the league.
But that's where it's got to start.
Yeah. Because, not with Kirk Cousins.
No, probably not with Kirk. But for the argument, like, there's two sides of that argument with we can't guarantee players' contracts because it's so dangerous. Well, the opposite side of that is you should guarantee players contracts because they are so dangerous.
Well, and the Sammy Watkins thing just stuck out to me just because it reminded me how the NBA has a better hot stove than the NFL at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe they always have.
NBA also has a better hot stove than regular season. Whereas football's regular season is really good.
Right. And they do have such a compelling it's not about the money being spent, but it just got me that it's at the wrong time of year for the NBA, but it is there's something to it. I mean, there's if you could somehow engineer in a way to have a little more player movement or free up a way that there can be more trades there has been in the NFL, then that would be a good thing.
Well, the NFL also has historically and currently the weakest union of the baseball and basketball. I mean, baseball has possibly the strongest union in America. they get what they want. Basketball's got a fairly strong union.
It is
the
weird.
NFL always loses to the owners.
There's like a lot of real reasons for it, but it is always weird that like George Hill is gonna have a better contract than Tom Brady or whoever it is. You know,
it's strange.
There's a million examples.
Left-handed reliever will make more than Tom Brady
easily. But the whole, I think what you're looking at, Greg, is there's a whole genre of an NBA season that we don't really get for an NFL play. Like there's. You can have 20 or 30 NBA guys bet on themselves because the bet's less risky.
Yeah,
it's harder for an NFL player to say, "Oh, you know, I'll take some money this year and hope to get it next year." Like, if I don't get this money now, I may never get paid.
Well, and good
ever.
Players, really good teams never let players that they want to keep leave. Like Sammy Watkins is an interesting case because he sort of has had to have struggles and annoy the Bills in some way to even be looking at that free agency market next year. And yet, if he did make it, he probably would make as much money as Julio Jones or A.J. Green because good players don't make it to the free agent market like that.
That's true. One of the guys from that 2014 class, Gabe Jackson, he signed a five-year extension worth a reported $56 million. So they were just waiting basically to sign Derek Carr. Then came Gabe Jackson, and apparently Carr left some money on the table for Jackson so he could get that deal. And everything and everybody is very happy in Raiders land.
Pro Bowl caliber guard in his prime on one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a great line. I mean,
another positive thing about the Raiders there. You can go double thing it.
Yeah, for the past 3 days in separate news hits, said that Gabe Jackson says that Derek Carr is the most selfless person he's ever met.
Wow.
That's how quiet
like
it is.
Like Gandhi.
That you've been kind of reshaping some Gabe Jackson.
Not reshaping, Greg. I've said that verbatim. 3 days.
The Gandhi of quarterbacks.
Are you about to say that again in about 15
minutes
or so? Let
me check the script. I might run down there and get it in.
Raven's about to run downstairs and do
I actually was on a new shift the day that Derek Carr signed his deal, and I reworked David Carr's tweet about buying him lunch many times over.
They're still looking for a right tackle, but they built a offensive line from scratch, Reggie McKenzie did, mostly with free agents, but with Kelechi Osemele, Donald Penn, Rodney Hudson, and Gabe Jackson in the draft. Now probably the best, maybe the best line.
You think it's better than the Cowboys? Especially with the, I mean.
Right there.
No. I think a lot of people are writing off the Cowboys, and they shouldn't, just because
Claybon,
they lost.
You're leaving us.
Yeah, I got to go tape it.
Yeah, but through the magic of editing, the listeners might not even know.
Maybe come back up if it doesn't take long. Okay, bye.
I don't know. Like the Cowboys, you could argue, have the best left tackle, best guard, and best center in the NFL. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's a strong line. I mean, that's great, too, for Derek Carr. I love what the organization has done to keep them all together. It's, I mean, awesome for their offense.
Yeah, you're right. Like, now I'm trying to, like, compare the two lines. You're right. The Cowboys have to get the edge because they might have the best three guys at three separate positions. They do have two question marks this year.
That sort of brings them down a little.
They're going to have Lyle Collins was a very highly touted
first-round
talent,
yeah.
Yeah, who is now going to be their right tackle position. He hasn't played as
could
as
be
a
an upgrade on Doug Free.
He could be great. Like, I'm writing about him just briefly as kind of a guy who's kind of a key to their team, kind of a guy people have forgotten about. Like, if he's as good as they once thought, and he's never played tackle at the NFL level, so maybe he's going to be awesome. That's what he played left tackle. I mean, if he's a difference maker and they're better, like, watch out. But if he ends up being a weak spot and they've got a new left guard, maybe they won't be quite as good as they've been in the past.
Where and when can we read this piece that you're writing?
This is the post-hype All-Stars, I believe it's going
what?
On Friday.
That's been a Greg staple going back to Roto.
That was an old staple. Bringing it back.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about some Eagles stuff. So the Eagles, they cut Dorial Green-Beckham. They're trying to get that wide receiver core settled. They brought in Alshon Jeffrey, obviously, and Torrey Smith. Jordan Matthews is there. They low-key fired their wide receiver coach, Greg Lewis, hired a new guy. I think that might help because they had just one wide receiver last year with more than 36 catches last season. That was abysmal. So DGB, not in the mix anymore.
Greg Lewis was on the receiving end of one of the most amazing last-second victories in NFL history on a Brett Favre pass in the back of the end zone, which was spectacular.
Ooh.
Look that up, everyone. Yeah, Google Favre to Greg Lewis game winner.
This is more interesting than
it is. I kind of like that story.
DGB. I think what you were going to say is Greg Lewis, I caught one of the more meaningless last-minute touchdowns and a very nice catch as well in Super Bowl.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, he caught the touchdown that cut the lead late in that Patriots-Eagles game after Donovan McNabb's, you know, 7-minute drive.
I remember very well. It was a great
DGB
day for you.
DGB probably not going to achieve as much as Greg Lewis, despite a lot of
probably not
hype in his career. Also, I don't blame them for trying to trade for him, though. They gave up nothing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The Eagles, they gave up an offensive
Dennis
lineman.
Dennis Kelly,
yeah.
A backup end.
The Eagles also can avoid paying Ryan Matthews an injury settlement by waiting until he's medically cleared to release him. That stems from the neck injury that he suffered last year, so he could be a free agent soon. And I don't know what's the best case scenario for him because I don't know how serious it is.
I threw that in there because it's just a story I almost forgot about at this point that he's still on their roster.
I know.
That explains why. It shows how hardcore – how tough the NFL is, to Patrick's point earlier about guaranteed contracts, that they just don't want to pay him money. So they're going to wait till he can pass a test from like the, you know, life affecting neck injury that he's going to have so that they can pay him less money. And he probably won't, who knows, maybe he won't get a job. I mean, it's tough to get a job as a running back with neck injuries.
Yeah, that's neck injury is going to be tough for him. And I'm looking through the rosters now. I don't see a team that's like, so desperate at running back that they would run out and sign him.
Ravens came to mind.
Maybe. Yeah.
They're not desperate. I mean, they can get by, but
the Giants?
They're going to be without Kenneth Dixon early in the year. Yeah. Maybe they give Ryan Matthews a shot.
It's weird because I think it was Darren Sproles who was quoted as talking about LeGarrette Blount and Ryan Matthews sharing the workload.
Yeah, but that's just a good guy. I read that too.
I read that
as a good guy talking about his friend in a respectful way, even if he knows that's maybe not likely. You're not going to talk about like the guy like he's not there. He's still on the team. It's a weird situation.
Okay. Not a weird situation. Actually, this is a weird situation. There was a firework that
these really are our today. We can be quick on this.
A misfired firework shell exploded at Nissan Stadium, which is the Titans stadium. Now, I mean, when I first read this, I was thinking, oh, you know, you a lot of times on July 4th hear like things outside of your house and you're like, oh my God, what was that? And then it turns out to be nothing. It was just something that like barely missed your house. This blew out concrete and some seats in the upper deck.
What are we doing here?
I know.
Why are we allowed? Why is it legal to shoot off something that can take out concrete and seats in a stadium?
Yeah. I thought you were saying, what are we doing here? Why are we talking about
this? I know. A little bit of both.
It occurred to me, but I just thought we should have our 4th of July NFL disaster story of the year. I mean, this isn't as...
We're awarding this.
Thankfully, no one was injured.
Right.
It just hurt, you know, so no one lost any fingers or anything like that. But yeah. Enough with fireworks.
This comes from a room where nobody watched the fireworks. Did anybody see one firework on July 4th?
Oh, yeah. Around the room and
asked. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
I didn't.
My kids aren't.
Watch.
All right, still go to bed like early. They'll be ready for it.
What other 7th century technology still exists today?
I mean, I had to sit and just hold my dog for hours on end. He was shaking so bad from the fireworks. It's awful. He hates July 4th and New Year's.
I think that kids, it's fun for kids. By all means, go have fun, watch some fireworks. Adults who get all geeked up about it, calm down.
I love fireworks because I love...
Sally, calm down.
I love America.
Oh,
I don't think fireworks mean you love America.
No, it's fireworks at 10 o'clock are fine. The 2 o'clock, it sounds like a war zone outside my window. Is not okay.
While they're taking out concrete and seats.
My brother used to like bring home fireworks from Maryland and like he would buy them in bulk and then drive home and keep them in the basement. And my parents would find them and be like, what the hell is this, Tim? And they would try and get rid of all the fireworks.
Like, maybe I'll change if I get older. But yeah, fireworks seem similar to me, like the people that get, they love the fireworks celebration but don't have kids, but they're adults. Seem like the same type that, like, the adults that go to Disneyland but without kids. That seems really.
Whoa! We just took a shot at our former producer.
She's on the borderline. I love Sydney. She knows that. She's still growing. I still think
she's still growing.
I still think of her as a kid.
I still think of her as a kid.
We need Dan here for the Mickey Mouse voice.
I know. I'm not doing it.
Or even like the 4th. Yeah, there was like we went to the 4th of July parade. I did that, which was fantastic.
What was that?
Santa Monica. Oh, it's down Main Street. It was great. The kids love that. Even that one seems a little like. Yeah, I don't know if I would just go to that just as an adult. You need the kids there with you.
I do think if you're going to have a proper 4th of July party, it's important to have at least one fireworks guy in the mix.
Okay.
You know who they are.
Sully would be.
One guy who knows how to handle fireworks, and it's pretty safe around him, too. He's been doing it his whole life, you know, and he gets a thrill out of it. You got to have a fireworks
Sully
guy.
Sully has, like, the biggest grin on his face right now. Did you set off any fireworks?
Oh, I did. Yeah, we have the fireworks guy.
I could look at Sully. I could just, like, look at your profile picture on Twitter or whatever and know you're the fireworks guy.
Yeah.
Like, I just know you are.
Yeah. I like fireworks. I like fireworks. They're fun.
Finally.
Jerry Jones, he's going to be going into the Hall of Fame, and he chose his wife as his presenter for the Hall of Fame. So maybe we do a little, who would you choose for this big offer? And maybe we should keep spouses and significant others out of it because does that feel like, okay.
I mean, I would, I guess I don't.
You wouldn't go Emeka?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, why don't you do the, if you're going to choose a significant other or spouse, you have to choose somebody else too.
Well, I would not choose my wife. I would not choose my wife because the last thing she would want to do is like public speaking in front of a lot of people. Like she would like hate me to ask for that. No, seriously. Like I'm sure that goes into the presenting decisions. It's kind of, you know, you want someone to do it that wants to do it. She would absolutely not want.
Isn't Kurt Warner isn't his
wife
is
doing
is presenting
it? Yeah, usually
it?
It's a lot of times it's a teammate.
Oh yeah. That's true.
I didn't really think about that. I threw out this question, but I didn't think about it.
I didn't even see it till now. That's a lot of pressure.
I would choose someone that nobody knows.
Okay, who's this?
My husband, John.
Oh. Well, this way people could get introduced to him.
That's true. You guys know John, right?
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who's married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
So there's an option.
Well, in my head, I'm thinking that it's like somehow a work Hall of Fame, I guess. I don't know what Hall of Fame it would be.
It'd be cool to like have...
Like I think
the roots West write a song for me and
I'm not just saying,
it that way.
I'm not just saying, ooh, that would be good.
Right?
Get a celebrity.
And then you have a song, too.
Yeah. Got the Philly involved with it.
Yeah. Nice. I love the roots.
Yeah.
Wes would be a strong – I'm not just saying this because you're here, Wes. Wes would be a pretty – I think might be my pick just because – partly because we've had a lot of time together, that he's been with me on both sides at Roto World and here. And if it's – you know, if we're kind of talking about – yeah, who better
nice
than Wes?
Well,
plus he's a wordsmith.
So well, I'm not just saying this either, but several people entered my mind, and Greg was the first one.
Wow. Now, should I leave the room? Should I leave you two alone?
I think we need some alone time. Colleen, we want to pick this up here a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know if you should let Dan know about this.
My oldest friend is a Catholic priest, so that's...
Really?
That's stiff competition, and the owner of Huckapoo's is one of my dearest friends, too.
Ooh.
And he's a great public speaker, so... There would be a few people I'd be choosing from, but Greg would definitely be right near the top. Yeah.
That feels like it's tough to decide.
My co-host of the Rosenthal and Justin McManley project.
There you go.
Anthony would be a strong choice, but I don't think I would choose him.
Be living on the edge there.
Yeah, he would just.
He just roast you the whole time.
A seemingly meaningful event. At least it would be memorable. Then it would be more memorable.
That would actually be great.
It could be one of the best speeches ever.
He basically roasted me at my own wedding. So.
Really?
Yeah, more or less.
Is there audio of that anywhere?
I don't know. I hope not.
It's right there with the Delaware tape.
I know. Damn it. You beat me to that joke. It was a race to that joke. All right. So, Wes, you had an amazing idea in the middle of the night last night for a little game for us to play. And you know what that game is?
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. We've been waiting for you. It's time to play the Holiday Quarterback Game.
Wow.
Yeah. Little Holiday Quarterback Game.
Nice job, Sully. Thank you.
Little jaunty game. So you thought about this in the middle of the night?
Well, Greg hit me up right before bed saying, you know, we desperately need to come up with a segment for tomorrow. We got nothing. And I was too tired to think about it.
Poor Wes, he's like feeling like hasn't eaten all day. You're going to have to beep that out, Sully. Hasn't eaten all day. And I'm bugging him at 10 p.m. Like, yeah, can you do my job? Can you do our jobs for us, Wes?
I saw that text and I was like, ugh.
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't know. Unsung heroes?
I said a separate one.
I sleep very weird hours now. So I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning and started watching All or Nothing, and I thought, wait, we could do All or Nothing as our segment. And I was like, no, this is boring. So let's come up with something new. And I was reading Roto-World, and one of the Texans beat writers had a prediction that Tom Savage will be the quarterback at least until midseason, and I so badly wanted to tear that prediction down, so I invented this game.
All right, so Claybon is back just in time for the game. So this is how the game's going to work. We're going to throw out some names, and we're going to go around the room and say, will these quarterbacks last as the starter until this specific holiday? So we have a couple holidays here, such as Halloween, Thanksgiving, Labor Day, Christmas, etc. All right. You guys ready?
There is a possibility some of these starting quarterbacks don't even make it to Labor Day, which means they lose their job in the preseason.
Mm. Ah.
Well, are there any – okay. I mean, you were the Milton Bradley of this game,
right,
Wes. Is there anything that Colleen kind of didn't interpret correctly?
Oh, no. She's all over.
Okay.
She intuitively
I'm trying
gets
to understand.
This game.
I'm trying to understand.
Okay. So are we going by quarterback or are we going by holiday?
I think we'll go
we
by
decide?
Quarterback.
Let's go by quarterback.
We're just kind of fleshing this out live. Is Claybon's mic on? let's get Claybon on.
Hello. Hey!
Back!
Okay. All right.
Gonna be back.
Okay, so let's start with Tom Savage. Let's start with the guy who initiated the idea for this game.
Right, so this beat writer predicts that he'll make it to midseason, and my first thought was, what are you new? Seriously? To the job? To Bill O'Brien's career? Bill O'Brien once benched his starting quarterback 3 quarters into the season opener.
Yeah.
It was Brian Hoyer, who is a better quarterback than Tom Savage.
Oh, you don't know that.
Of course we do. He couldn't even beat out Brian Hoyer when they played for the same team. Also, he can't stay healthy for more than a game at a time. Tom Savage will not last past, I mean, I'd like to say Columbus Day, which is October 9th, but we'll go Halloween. There's no way he's lasting past Halloween.
Ooh.
He'll be injured by October.
Spooky.
Yeah, the date that I was putting on our man Tom Savage is Veterans Day. Because looking at the schedule, I could see, all right, so.
So he makes it past Halloween, but not.
Yeah, no, because the situation that you're going to have is, when do you want your rookie quarterback making his first start? And
that's a great
one spot that it could be is right after the game against the Chiefs. They're at home against the Browns. So we could go there, but, you know, maybe they win a couple of games. Maybe Tom Savage saves his job. Bill comes out during the week. He does that thing where he lies about which quarterback is going to play. And then Deshaun gets the start. So, yeah, Veterans Day is my pick.
Mm. Is there anything to Tom Savage understanding the system better than Deshaun? Because Deshaun's a rookie. And maybe he I mean, they just need a game manager. They have all the pieces on offense. They have a defense. They just need somebody to not mess it up. And I don't know if Tom Savage can do that because it seems like he hasn't been able to do it in the past.
Of course, it's an advantage. The fly in the ointment here is that Tom Savage isn't a very good football player.
But, right.
And he's one of these guys who Greg's going to tell me, you can't say that, but he's a lot like Zapp Mettenberger. He moves so deliberately in the pocket, is slow to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to be sacked a lot. He's going to be injured a lot. The Texans are in a winnable division. They've won the division 2 out of the last 3 years. They want to win now. And the NFL season is episodic, which
means
every week there is debate on the talk radio, amongst the fans, in the coaching staff, after every week, they're going to say, we can't win with this guy at some point.
I'm surprised you didn't say Columbus Day then. They do have three
That's
straight,
what I first said, Columbus
yeah,
Day.
That they didn't have – they have 3 straight home games, week 4, 5, and 6, and then a bye. So I'm going to say Halloween because that bye there at week 7, that's often a time you make changes. My only thing about Tom Savage is I hear you. I think he did a few nice things in his games. He didn't make big mistakes in his games. All I'm saying is let's just watch him before we say his career is over. He's barely played. He got hurt the couple times.
So we have to do that with every player in the league now or what?
Pretty much. I mean, I don't decide on players too much until they play in the regular season.
We've seen him play. I've seen every throw of Tom Savage's career.
And there's been like 65, 70 of them, and I think he's played fine.
What's the value of waiting until Zach Mettenberger loses his job before saying he's not very good? There's no value in that whatsoever.
65 to 70 throws was more than enough for Jimmy Garoppolo to be the greatest quarterback in the history of football.
I think let's just give him a shot. I think if you really look closely at his games last year, he had the one game where we got all excited, where he played pretty well. He had the Bengals game where
he came in relief.
Yeah,
that's a much different thing.
He had the Bengals game where he didn't play well, but
he had the Bengals game, which was one of the worst starts by a quarterback in the 2016.
But I think it was one of the worst offensive line games, and he actually made
offensive line look way worse than they were. He held the ball.
Ouch.
One thing about Tom that I mean, I think I'm on the same level as Wes here. I just want to see Tom Savage make a play. That would make me feel better about him keeping.
He made plays in that game. He came in and threw a couple deep down the field to DeAndre Hopkins, plays outside the sideline that just weren't being made before. I'm not saying he's going to be good. I just want to watch him.
Significant accuracy issues going back to college and still in the pros.
We also don't know if he's real.
All right, that's a lot of Tom Savage talk. That's enough for one day. Let's move on to Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon, I'm going to give Mike Glennon until Halloween. I feel like Halloween. I'm giving him until Halloween. I feel like John Fox is kind of on the hot seat. He needs to make moves, and he's not going to have any problem putting Trubisky in earlier. I mean, I think that he could put him in earlier than Halloween. I think Mike Glennon doesn't last until he doesn't play, doesn't start until after Halloween.
I'd give him till Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. That's a lot of Glennon.
But they paid him $18 million.
Yeah, but I feel like the front office and the coaching staff are not on the same page.
He's a lot more talented than Tom Savage, in my opinion. I think Glennon is ideally a high-end backup quarterback, but he's better than Tom Savage.
The problem is I'm with you, and I'd like to see them be patient, and it doesn't make sense to me to rush Mitch Trubisky. I don't know who's going to be making decisions, whether it's
13 DM college starts
or John Fox. But they start with Atlanta at Tampa versus, you know, against the Steelers at Green Bay. It's like Vikings, Ravens. I guess there's no easy games for the Bears. But what's the best-case scenario before they're bye? In a best-case scenario, I would consider Mike Glennon and the Bears to have overachieved if they're 2-6 heading into that bye.
Yeah, let's get weird. I've got it on Columbus Day,
ooh,
which falls on a Monday, which is the Monday Night Football where they play the Vikings. Why not?
Ooh,
why not have Mitch Trubisky? Why not have Mitch Trubisky make his first NFL start on the Monday Night Football game where
I like
you
know, it
like you mentioned, Greg.
I like it.
Falcons,
so
Bucks at the Packers. I mean, like what are the Bears going to be playing for here? Come on.
I'm rooting for Mike Glennon because I think he could be good. But you've convinced me. That argument makes some sense to me. And I just wanted to stick it in Columbus's eye. It's the only holiday that we did not get a sound drop for. Because let's face it, Columbus Day. Come on.
What, you don't think Columbus Day deserves?
I'm just saying, it's not a real holiday. That's kind of like a
of all the
it's like a
around.
Valentine's Day or something.
Like we can do better.
But we
from 1480 to 1575, we can probably find somebody that's more deserving of an American.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Leif Erickson Day or something.
I'm going to start Thomas Paine Day.
Let's do it.
Okay, what about Josh McCown? Claibon, you're up.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough with McCown because you're thinking, here's my McCown tinfoil hat. I'm just going to put it on because Josh McCown is my dude. He's down for the cause. I think the Jets somehow, in a crazy world, wind up 2-2, and they realize, like, hey, this isn't what we want to do. And so Josh McCown is out of there.
Because they're doing too well.
Yeah, because they want to get one of those quote-unquote looks at the future. And so, yeah, Josh McCown loses his job by mid-August.
Labor Day.
Yeah. Labor Day.
I went with Labor Day, too.
Working on the railroad.
not Labor Day. Not Labor Day.
He doesn't even make it to Labor Day.
Oh, he has to go 2-2, so he's got to make it into October.
What's the holiday I'm looking for here?
Columbus?
I got a little
Halloween.
Thrown off by holidays, too.
Yeah. Halloween. Josh McCown is out of there before Halloween.
Maybe I don't know, man.
The preseason.
I'm going to go Labor Day. I love the reports that him and Hackenberg aren't actually that far apart, even though we heard that Hackenberg was hitting reporters on the sideline with errant throws. So it's just not a good scenario there. Their wide receiver core is abysmal, and I have no idea who the starting quarterback is going to be.
Well, it's like a time-honored OTA's tradition, which quarterback is hitting the reporters.
I love that storyline always. I always get
it's
a
like
kick
RG3
out of it.
Is throwing it into backyards.
Yeah.
I'm going to go even earlier than that.
Whoa.
Monday, it'll either be Monday, September 18th or Tuesday, the 19th. Options there is it's National Cheeseburger Day on the 18th. And
wait, we could be celebrating National Cheeseburger Day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
We will be celebrating with Wes.
That's
National
right.
Cheeseburger Day on the same day that they announce Christian Hackenberg is starting the home opener for
Whoa.
Week three, because McCown, maybe he got – I actually think – I don't want to – you never want to predict an injury, but he has not been able to stay on the field for very long.
It's true.
Because he plays with a very reckless style, this renegade.
This begs the question, then at which holiday does Hackenberg get benched for Petty?
Ooh.
The very next one.
Yes.
I know.
Whichever holiday comes next.
They have no holidays.
It'll be one of those Instagram holidays. It'll be like National.
National Bottle Cap Day.
Yeah. God.
Fun fact, today is National Fried Chicken Day. So
sweet.
So go eat some fried
chicken.
It's
like Greg's favorite food.
Yeah. It really is.
Really?
Yeah.
Fried chicken is?
I would say fried chicken's not. Fried chicken, Mexican.
Oh, don't forget
general.
Garlic bread.
Bread in general.
These are very
bread
like
in general.
Specific.
Yeah, that's an eclectic dinner.
Yeah,
but it sounds delicious.
Steak. I mean, steak would be up there. But yeah, I think your deathbed meal. You know, like you're gonna get electrocuted or
yeah.
whatever. What would that be? That was what we were talking about. And I said ultimately, right now, I think it's changed over time. But I think I would just go like fried chicken and like a biscuit.
Oh my God, that would be so. I think I'd have to go with breakfast.
Korean barbecue
biscuits
up
and
there.
Gravy and
Korean
grits.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I want a nice pair of insulated gloves, maybe.
What?
A weapon to defend myself.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about the Browns and Cody Kessler. I'm giving him until Labor Day. I feel like I've given a lot of these guys
I've
until
been working
Labor Day.
On the railroad,
but it seems
all the live long day.
DeShone Kizer is going to be the guy that I think he's going to be their man. I don't think that they're going to be able to push him off that long. And Hugh Jackson, we've been hearing about Cody Kessler having a hard time struggling with passes being batted down at the line because he's too short and he falls under the threshold that Hugh Jackson likes in quarterbacks, that 6'2 mark. So whatever, either way, I think DeShone Kizer is going to be the guy.
Why did he draft him and then say trust me after he drafted him?
Yeah.
I think Kessler's better than people give him credit for.
Really?
I do. I think he's ultimately going to be a backup in the NFL, but I think he can play. He's got a little Colt McCoy in him without the concussions.
Which helps.
I'll give him till Halloween. I do think we're going to see Kizer this year, but I'll give him till Halloween.
I had that very same holiday for Cody Kessler. And I like the story because, like Colleen mentioned, like this isn't the guy that Hugh really wanted on
right.
paper. But it's this relationship that's going to be forged.
Ooh.
And Cody Kessler, the concussion-free Colt McCoy, as Wes called him, is
going
to be out there slinging around and maybe winning the Browns some football games until it becomes time to, you know, you have to go into the mode of let's see what he has and we've got to get DeShone in the game. And then that lovable story is going to be crushed under the weight of NFL
to
pressure.
A zillion
I heard, I wrote something that was mildly dismissive of Cody Kessler. It's similar to what you said, that he played well, but like better than people realize. Maybe his future is as a really good backup. And I got some real stat-based information from his agent. A few emails, very polite, and he made a very...
Are you being an insider right now?
No, I just got the emails.
It's breaking news?
It was not breaking news. He made a compelling case of his rookie numbers, and he went through the things, and it was his rookie year, and this, that, and the other. It wasn't a great offensive line. If you wanted to make a case for Cody Kessler based on stats and some of the context around him last year, like, you can make it if you're in the Cody Kessler case. That's all I'm saying.
Did those numbers from his agent include his height, weight, and miles per hour on sideline throws?
That's tough. You've now changed my mind. I'm going to give him till Yom Kippur. Because we have – that's September 30th. I wish we had prepped this. We have a Hanukkah drop. I'm afraid no one's going to make it to Hanukkah, so let's just play it.
This is kind of creepy.
What was that? Is that a horror movie?
No, it's children singing dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. But
hear it again. Hear it again.
I have a little
dreidel. Dan, Hanses would not like this.
No, he would not. But it sounds like something Mark picked out.
We're going to get like Hava Nagila or
it really does.
That's from the upcoming movie where little Jewish troop like comes around the neighborhood singing you songs, but really they kill you.
It's murdering you.
Children of the Corn meets
wielding
Hanukkah.
Knives.
Children of the Dreidel.
Yeah.
When is Hanukkah?
Children of the Dreidel. Wes.
Does anybody know when Hanukkah is this year?
Hanukkah starts, went
December 11th, 12th, 12th? Around there. Yeah.
12-12.
I was going to give our next guy, Brian Hoyer, Hanukkah, but I'm going to give him until Christmas. Mm. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Niner fans.
Here's Matt Barkley.
You get a seasonal Hoyer.
Yeah, I don't really see any of the other quarterbacks on the roster starting ahead of him. Mm. Plus, him and Shanahan, they worked together for a year in Cleveland, so he knows his system a little bit, so now it's just a little bit of a refresher. And, I mean, are the 49ers really looking to do anything this year besides wait for Kirk Cousins? Mm. Possibly.
I believe in Kyle Shanahan, but if you look at the splits of Brian Hoyer's career, first half of the season versus second half, it's night and day. He is an above-average statistical quarterback in the first half of the season and one of the worst quarterbacks in the league in the second half of the season. I'm going Hanukkah.
The old Charlie the Journal.
There we go.
That sounds about right.
Sleep tight, everybody.
Nope.
I think I'm going Hanukkah with a little maybe CJ Beathard action.
Ooh,
whoa.
Starts late in the year. We want to give him a look. I mean, they drafted him. Why not?
All right.
Does anyone have any other wild cards they want to throw out?
Mm. Quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I like the Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian one. I'm going to say Siemian keeps the job. And he takes it until Thanksgiving when the Broncos are out of the race in the AFC West. Mm.
I say Trev goes coast to coast. I had him at Labor Day that Trev's going to get this job. And
I've been working on the railroad.
Wait, so Labor Day. Labor Day's the start of September.
Yeah, well, I'm saying.
He's making it to next Labor Day?
No, Paxton Lynch.
Lynch goes to Labor Day.
Lynch loses his job, loses the opportunity to get the job because Trevor's going to take it at Labor Day.
I like
it.
Two holidays in there.
I feel like, yeah, if they struggle, I feel like the hook would be quick. So making it the whole season, if he got the starting job, makes some sort of sense to me. Because I don't think they'll give him a long leash. I think he'll have to stay above 500 and really playing well. But I'm going to go Paxton Lynch winning the job. I don't know what that means for Labor Day or what, but I think that...
Well, that's not part of the game, Greg.
I like Siemian better, but I just feel like they want to play Paxton Lynch.
Well, I think as long as it's a healthy Trev, you know, this Trev with a shoulder injury was really bad.
Trev with a shoulder injury behind a porous offensive line and no running game was really bad.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Do we want to throw in any other names? Tyrod Taylor?
Ooh, Jared Goff?
Is that disrespect?
Tyrod Taylor's New Year's.
New Year's, so he makes it.
He takes it the whole season.
I think so.
Alex
Smith. He's trying to get a contract.
Alex Smith, Halloween, 2018.
Really? Oh, I was about to say.
I was like, ooh, no way, Wes.
My heart started beating fast.
Whoa.
2018 Halloween. Okay. Spooktacular.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Sully, that's the Halloween 2017.
yeah, we have to work on the 2018 one.
All right, gang. Should we wrap up this the quarterback game?
We got to get you on a plane, though.
I know. I got to go.
Okay.
All right. It's been real, everybody. Fun times, good times. Great to see everybody. And we're going to do another podcast soon. I won't
Tuesday.
Be here, but Tuesday. So for the Claybon man, the mailman, the boss man, Sully behind the glass, till Tuesday.